we serve a risen Savior.
Absolutely.
Yes. Amen. And he's in the world today.
Yeah.
I know that he is with me.
Whatever men may say.
Yeah. Hallelujah. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us.
No.
He is with us always.
Yeah.
No matter where we are, no matter what situation we're in.
Yeah.
It might not seem like it at times, but believe me, he's there.
Mm.
He's there. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Last week, we were looking at Psalm 107.
Fabulous.
Again. And the title actually in my Bible at the moment says, "The Lord delivers men from manifold troubles."
Mm.
So, however many troubles you're in,
yeah,
or feel that you're in,
mm,
he delivers.
Amen.
There isn't one that he cannot deliver you from.
Amen.
My God is a God of the impossibles.
Praise
do you believe
God.
That?
Amen.
Praise God. Raise your hand if you do.
I do.
Let me see. Yeah, hallelujah.
Amen.
He's a God of the impossibles.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, you know, he and the church is to be the city of God.
Amen.
On earth. The church is to be that established place where God will move through our lives, ministering to people's lives,
yeah,
and just quicken people in such a wonderful way. Let's just, I know we got to somewhere around about verse 19, but we'll just back up to verse 15. In fact, we'll start just at verse 1 initially. What does it start off with? It starts off with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. So the psalmist is making a declaration. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Mm.
And just remind yourselves today, God is good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he's not only is he good, but he's good to you.
Yeah.
Say that. God is good to me.
God is good to me.
God is good to me. Yeah, sometimes you have to convince yourself. Say it again. God is good to me.
God is good to me.
Hallelujah. And I know, I saw Steve there waving his hand because it just brought to mind a chorus, didn't it? God is good to me. God is good to me. He holds my hand. He hits me. Whatever. It's an old chorus that we used to sing. God is good to me.
Yes.
And sometimes it is great to remind ourselves in song,
yes,
God is good to us.
Mm.
And the enemy will try and tell you he's not. Well, he is.
Yeah.
God is good to me.
He is.
And let's finish that verse where it says, "For his loving kindness is everlasting."
Amen.
In other words, it's not going to run out.
No.
You don't have to refuel it.
No.
It is always there. And
yeah,
God is good to you. God is good to us, and his loving kindness is overflowing to us every day, day after day, week after week, year after year.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same yesterday, today,
amen,
and forever.
Yeah.
He says, and guess what? I'm not changing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the same. He's
yeah,
steadfast. He's steadfast. And so we can place our trust in God. We can place our trust in him, knowing that he is steadfast in all that is happening.
Yeah.
You see, God has a plan.
He does.
God has a purpose for each and every one of us, for our individual lives. And God has a purpose for humanity. And the devil's not going to stop it.
No.
And the devil's not going to stop the plan that God has for your life.
No.
All we have to do is stay connected with Jesus. Stay
yeah,
connected with God. Let God begin to do a work in us.
Yeah.
And let him enfold us in his arms and just put his arms around us and just draw us closer to himself. And you know, sometimes you might have feelings of difficulty in drawing close to God.
Yeah.
Well, just pause for a moment and know that he loves you with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
Just pause for a moment and remember that he sent his only son who was spotless and pure to die for your sins, to take your punishment and my punishment, so that we could actually draw close to him, and that he did it so that he could actually embrace us. He did it so that he could embrace us.
Amen.
And cause us to know his presence, to know his loving arms around us. Because if it hadn't been for Jesus, we would not be able to feel the love and the embrace of Father God towards each and every one of us. So we just have to rejoice. Remember those things. And then the psalmist goes on in verse 15 and says, let them give thanks to the Lord.
Yeah.
You see, he's repeating this. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. The psalmist not forgotten this. He's repeated it in verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Verse 31, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. He's constantly saying, reminding us, give thanks.
Mm.
In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
He's with us, he's there for us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men.
Amen.
He's going to do some wonderful things. He's already done some wonderful things.
Amen.
But his plans are to do even more wonderful things. Amen. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to get ready. We have to have an expectant heart for God to begin to move in such a wonderful way.
Yes. Amen.
It says, verse 16, for he shatters gates of bronze and he cuts bars of iron in sunder.
Amen.
In other words, nothing is going to stand in his way.
Amen.
No matter what you put up, no matter what the enemy puts up,
mm-hmm.
it is not going to get in the way of what God is going to do.
Amen.
That word broken, that word shattered, it means that it's the shavar in Hebrew, meaning to shatter, to smash. I love my New American Standard because my New American Standard in verse 16 says, for he has shattered the gates, which is the correct translation. Whereas the King James, it says that, I think it says he breaks the gates. Does it, I don't know who's got a King James anyway. Verse 16, he's broken the gates.
Broken the gates
in the King James, but in the New American Standard, it says he shatters. That's not just breaking them open. That's actually bringing them to a point where they're shattered into small pieces where they cannot be put back together. The enemy cannot rebuild those gates against us.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
Let the enemy know God is in the business of shattering things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God will shatter things around us. You know, God will break things down and shatter things like the false gods and the altars to false gods. God will shatter them.
Yeah.
That's his business. That's his style.
Yeah.
You know, when was it Dagon? He fell down three times, till in the end he'd got nothing left about him. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God says, I will bring you down. And every time, God will shatter and destroy.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to remember this.
Amen.
And verse 19, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles. He saved them out of their distresses. Hallelujah. When you cry out to God, he will save you.
Amen.
Out of your distress, no matter what is going on. It says that when they cry, that's a cry of anguish.
Yeah.
That's a crying out to God to save us out of our distresses, save us out of our discomfort. This word means yasha, which means to set free. In other words, when we cry out to God, and it says when he saves us, it means he's going to set us free. Today, if you're feeling bound, today, if you're feeling the enemy's being pressing in against you, God has come to set free.
Amen. Amen.
The word has come to set you free.
Yes.
The word has come to give us our space.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, God has, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, you know, one of the comments was, God has made room for us.
Yes.
God has made room for us.
Yes, it has.
Never mind what people are saying about rapture and everything. the commandment to Adam and Eve was to go in, was to, well, the commandment in Eden was to possess it, to rule over it, to reign over it. The commandment to the children of Israel when they went into the promised land was to go in and possess it.
Amen.
Yeah.
People,
yeah,
we need to possess this land.
We do.
This land is our land.
Amen.
This land belongs to God. And God wants to be the Lord of all in every way. And so we need to just rejoice in that and praise God for that.
Amen.
So it says they cried out in their trouble, they, and he saved them out of their distresses. Praise his wonderful name. The word Hosanna, which we use when Jesus entered Jerusalem, has its same roots in that word of Yasha, to set free. So Hosanna means set us free, save us. So when we sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, we're singing set us free, set us free, save us, set us free, deliver us. It's a cry to God. Hallelujah. Because if you consider the times and the days that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the people were under the rule of the Roman Empire. And they were singing as he came in, Hosanna, Hosanna, set us free, set us free, set us free. Hallelujah. Church, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be set free.
Amen.
We need to be moving in the realm and the power of the Spirit, and yeah, knowing that God's authority over our lives. And so it's important that we need to know our freedom in Christ.
Amen.
We need to know our authority in Christ Jesus. We are not reliant upon the political systems and upon political alliances, but we are not trusting in man, but we are trusting in the living God.
Amen.
We are trusting in the supernatural realm, not the natural realm.
Amen.
Everybody's looking for a virus, a vaccine for the virus. Hallelujah. We've got one. It's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Yeah.
He died for all. And you know, some folks they might say, well, you're just being so, you're simplifying it so much. That's all you need to do. When we would honor God, when we would place Jesus in his rightful place, he says he will bless the land and all that is in it. But today, we're going to do it all ourselves. And even that is being said in churches at times. We're doing it ourselves. No, we're not. Without Jesus, without God, you have absolutely nothing. You can only go up to as high as your arms can reach.
Yeah.
You know, we need to realize there is a power beyond us, and that power is in the name of Jesus. That power is in the presence of a holy God in our lives. And so we need to remember that when we pray, we are communicating on a supernatural level. We are, when we were born again, we became supernatural beings. And we might only be, some of us might only be supernatural babies. But that's okay. We're growing up in faith. We're growing up into adulthood spiritually. That we will do the work of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives. Let's have a look at verse 20. And we've already, in fact, we've just done that, haven't we, as we were praying earlier on in service. He sent his word and healed them. We've taken the promise of the word. Mm-hmm. We've taken what the psalmist has said. He sent his word and healed them today.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
The Lord has sent his word
and healed.
And healed.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. And it says, and delivered them from their destructions.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
What does that mean, delivered them? It means that they have been set free. So today, you have been set free.
Amen.
Now the devil's going to tell you, no, you haven't. Your emotions are going to tell you, no, you haven't.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. That's not the truth. The truth is Jesus has set you free. Amen. The truth is the power of the word is the word that sets us free. We have to bring our emotions in line with the word of God. We have to change our thinking. God says in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. We have to change our thinking. We have to begin to come to that place of realization that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world today. And we have to come to that place. And folks say to me, well, it's all right for you. No, we're all in the same position. But it's about growing in God. It's about letting this word of God be quickened in us. I encourage you all, when you read your Bible, read it out aloud. Speak it out. Speak, as you speak out the word of God, you speak into principalities and powers. And if principalities and powers seek to surround you, then speak out the word of God. And as you speak out the word of God, the principalities and powers are going to be backing off. Backing off. They have to back off. They cannot stand in the presence of an anointed one of God. They could not stand in the presence of Jesus. Remember when the madman of Gadara and the demons said, you know, begged him not to send them to their eternal destiny, but let him go into the pigs. They were begging him. They couldn't stand. They couldn't perform. They had no power. They had no authority. Today, the Christ lives in each and every one of us. So let's stand in that present Christ. Let's stand in the presence of his authority. Amen. And let us take our place and let's bring down the powers of the enemy that would afflict our lives. And he does. He seeks every day to seek to afflict us because he wants to stop you because you are a danger. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be dangerous? Hallelujah. We are dangerous for Jesus. And let's rejoice in that. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord. You know, once these things start to begin to happen, start giving thanks.
Amen.
When things are like this have been prayed over you, like we prayed earlier on in service, give thanks for it.
Amen.
You've received it already. You've received it already. You know, if somebody rings you and says, you know, I'm going to put some money into your bank account, and you go and look at your bank account, it's not turned up yet because there's a time delay. But give thanks.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Give thanks because it's on its way. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the blessings of God are on the way.
Amen.
Wonderful Jesus. And we can rejoice in him. You know, in Numbers chapter 21, let's just go over to Numbers chapter 21 and verses 4 through to 9. Numbers chapter 21 and verses 4 through to 9. And this is the children of Israel, that the Lord has delivered them from the Egyptians, set them free. Of course, they'd been a bit stiff-necked, and they were wandering a bit around the wilderness. And in verse 4 it says, then they set out from Mount Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. None of us have ever become impatient with God, have we?
No,
David says no. We'll speak to you later, David. We'll pray over you, bless you. You know, we've become impatient, haven't we, at times, on the journey. You see, what you have to remember today, each and every one of us are on the journey.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're on our journey to reach the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on that journey, and sometimes we get a little bit impatient, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I must admit, I can be impatient at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says they became impatient. And the people spoke against God and Moses and said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? for there is no food and no water. And we loathe this miserable food. Wow. You know, this is food that God has sent from heaven. And the people are turning around and saying, we loathe it.
Mm-hmm.
We hate this thing that you've given us. You know, we don't like it at all. And so it says then in verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bite the people so that many people of Israel died. So that the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he might remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard, and it came about that if that serpent it had bitten any man, when he looked upon the bronze serpent, he lived. This is symbolic of Jesus being nailed to the cross, being crucified. But if he be lifted up and men look unto him, no matter what has bitten into their lives, no matter what has come against them, looking unto Jesus will bring healing and deliverance into our lives. It's a promise. God's promise here was fulfilled. All the people had to do was to look. They had to look. They had to make sure they saw the serpent. That bronze serpent that was lifted up. That symbol that God was far greater.
Amen.
Because what healing would there be in looking at something? Nothing. But yet, if they did look, it says they were healed. And they didn't die. Praise God. So, sometimes God does things for us that we think, wow, these are crazy. This is crazy. But he's doing that so that we realize that no matter what is going on in our lives, God will bring and minister to us his way, in his time, for his purpose, for the glory of God. And so we have to realize what God is doing at this time. So let us move on then back to the Psalm 107 and verse 22. It says, let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. We need to begin to tell the people. What is our sacrifice? Thank God today you guys don't have to bring animals along. And we don't have to sacrifice them when there's blood all over the place and dead animals and carcasses. And no, thank you. But thank God that we can bring a sacrifice of praise. Now, sometimes it can be a challenge to praise God. You can be feeling depressed. You can be feeling oppressed. You can be feeling under the weather, as we say. You can be sick. And yet the word says that we are to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What have I got to thank God for? Thank God I'm saved.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank God Jesus is in my life. Yeah. Thank God he has taken my punishment.
Amen.
And set me free.
Yeah, thank you,
and even in my troubles, he's with me.
Yeah.
And you know, if we will get this word of God into us, if this word of God will get hold of us, this word of God is a quickening life to this mortal body.
Amen.
Because the life of God flows through the Spirit. When Jesus went to the dead people, when he went to the tomb of Lazarus, for instance, he spoke and he called Lazarus by name. He spoke to the spirit of Lazarus and it came back into his body, and that body was quickened by divine power from heaven, and Lazarus was brought back from the dead. He was dead in that tomb 4 days, basically. Mm-hmm. You that are in nursing and that, you know the blood will have dried up by that time. The brain is brain dead. Mm-hmm. But the power of God came into his body.
Amen.
And came and quickened and disturbed everything in him and brought him back into a new life and brought him out of that tomb. It lifted him out. I mean, Grace and I have been in Israel to a place that is believed to be the tomb of Lazarus, and there are steps down into it. How did he get out? He was wrapped in grave clothes. He couldn't move. But there was such a presence of the power of the Spirit of God, it literally levitated him out up those steps, mm-hmm, and stood him in the doorway. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. You see, he couldn't loose himself. They had to loose him at that point. This was to show that it was God at work. It was the hand of God. It was the power of God that was doing such a wonderful work. And he needed final help. They had to let him go. Right, but God had done the most important thing, and that was by the power of the Spirit of God, he breathed life back into him and set him free in Jesus' name, brought him back to life. And today, God wants to breathe back into you and to me the power of God, the life of God that will quicken each and every one of us for his praise and for his glory.
Amen.
So let us give thanks. Let us rejoice. Let us praise God for what he's done. And let's praise him in everything. Let's move on then to verse 29. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed.
Woo-hoo!
When I read this the other day, I suddenly thought, this is written before Jesus was in a boat,
mm-hmm,
with his disciples. And my mind, as I read this verse, immediately went to that time when they were on the sea. And Jesus was fast asleep in the boat. And that's in Matthew 8 and verse 26. This is a prophetic from the psalmist.
Yeah.
But he says there that he caused the storm to be still,
yeah,
so that the waves of the sea were hushed.
Amen.
Wow. What an amazing thing that God is giving God is telling them the future. This is what's going to happen. This is when my son's around. He's going to cause the waves to be hushed.
Amen.
He's going to cause the storm to be still.
Yeah.
And if you today have got a storm going on in your life,
yeah,
then let him speak into that storm.
Amen.
If the waves are rolling over you, let him speak to the waves.
Amen.
And let him bring them to a point of quietness.
Yeah.
You know, the word says to us, be still and know,
yes,
that I am God.
Amen.
Today, let God be God.
Yeah.
Don't let the circumstance, don't let the situation be God over you.
Amen.
That is not God's intention. That was never God's plan.
No.
You were to rule and reign.
Amen.
And so we need to let God be God over the circumstances and over the situations.
Amen.
And we need,
yeah,
to walk in our freedom. We need to walk in our blessings. We need,
amen,
to stand on his promises and to know the power of the Son of God moving in our lives.
Yes.
Verse 30 says, then they were glad because they were quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So he guided them to their desired haven. Well, they were quiet. The disciples turned to one another when all this happened and said, what manner of man is this? How's he done it? Who is he really? He kept telling them who he was, but it had just not quite clicked. They'd just not quite got it. But when he said, I'm the Son of God, they said, yeah. But It's still hadn't clicked. The penny had not dropped. They just hadn't quite got it. They said yes. They had a mental assent to it.
Yeah.
But it had not yet hit them where it mattered in the spirit. And so often we as individuals can have mental assent to God's word. Because that's where it first starts. We give mental assent to the word of God.
Yeah.
And we should be giving spiritual assent to it. But it's got to come down from our mental assent and it's got to descend into our spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, read the word out aloud and let your spirit catch it.
Amen.
Feed your spirit on the word of God. And as it feeds on the word of God, it will be strengthened and it will rise up and it will begin to believe truths of the word of God that your mind cannot handle.
Yeah.
Because our mind cannot handle the power and the truth of the word of God.
Yeah.
It's only our spirit that can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Men will read this book and laugh at it. They'll scoff at it. They scoffed at Jesus. You know, he says, you did this, you did that. Now come down from the cross. Show us that you're the Christ. He didn't need to show them that he was the Christ. He knew who he was.
Yeah.
And so with those disciples in that boat, they suddenly like, wow, what manner of man is this? Who is he? And verse 30 in that Psalm 107, then they were glad because there was quiet.
Mm.
So he guided them to their desired haven.
Yeah.
Yeah. He took them to the other side. Where he said right at the beginning, come, let us go to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come, let us go to the other side. And he went to sleep.
Yeah.
Because his words were true.
Yeah.
He knew that he was going to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't so sure once they got into the journey. See, the natural mind took over and they began to see the storm instead of seeing the Lord and hearing the words of the Lord. And so often we see the storms, we see the circumstances, and we forget the Savior.
Yeah.
Mm.
We forget the King of Kings.
Yeah.
We forget his words. And we go on what we see and what we feel rather than what the Word of God has said to us.
Yeah.
And so we need to push back and say, no, I'm not accepting what I see. I'm not accepting what I'm feeling. I'm trusting only in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God is the only thing that is true. The Word of God is the only thing that is stable. The only thing that is positively you can trust in. So the disciples were still learning lessons. And so verse 31 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. You know, when they got to the other side, they had something to do.
Yeah.
They had to deal with the devil
and
his demons.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, come on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to the other side.
Amen.
Because we've got something to do.
Yeah.
We've got things to deal with.
Yeah.
We've got the enemy to break into pieces.
Yeah.
We've got the enemy to shatter in the power of God, through the word of God flowing through our lives. And so God is there for us and keeping us. Verse 31. Keep praising the Lord. Keep praising God.
Yeah.
Don't look at your circumstances and say, oh, but pity me, you don't know what it's like. Keep praising God.
Amen.
Keep praising God. And as we praise God, we'll see great and mighty things. Verse 36. Well, we'll go back to 33. He changes rivers into a wilderness. And springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it.
Mm.
This is what's happening. There's wickedness in the lands, and the world is in that situation where things have been changed and they're trying to change them back.
Mm.
Verse 36, and there he makes the hungry to dwell so that he may establish. Sorry, let's go back to 35. He changes a wilderness into a water pool and dry land into springs of water. See, when the blessings of God are on the people, he says he changes a wilderness into a pool of water. In other words, a desert place. A dry and barren place. He says God changes it into a pool of water when we're praising him, when we're giving thanks to him, when he's in the center of our lives. He says, and the dry land, he turns into springs of water.
Amen.
Verse 36, and there he makes the hungry to dwell, so that they may establish an inhabited city.
Yeah.
Mm.
Did you get that? We need to establish something.
Mm.
And inhabit it. And make it a city. For the presence and the power of God to touch people's lives. How else is this going to happen? People need to come to a place of knowing God and finding the presence of God and actually sensing the presence of a spiritual dimension that loves them, that cares for them.
Yes.
And that is God himself.
Amen.
Verse 37. And he sows fields and plants vineyards and gathers a fruitful harvest. Also he blesses them and they multiply greatly.
Amen.
And he does not let their cattle decrease.
Amen.
God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. God wants to see you multiply.
Yeah.
God wants to see you reaping the harvest. God wants to see you knowing the presence and the power of God.
Mm.
And he's not going to let you lose anything. He
yeah.
wants you to know his power and blessing upon your lives. He says the hungry to dwell. You know, we're to sit and we're to take over a place.
Amen.
We're to claim our residency. Mm-hmm. We're to claim our divine right. You know, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, Caleb said to him, said to Joshua, he says, Joshua, Moses said to me, when we first had a look at this, I said, I want the high places.
Yeah.
He said, I'm over 80. But he said, I still want the high places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I have not changed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, he went and he fought for the high places. He drove out the enemy from those high places.
Amen.
Today, people, drive out the enemy from those high places.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if the devil's in your mind, drive him out.
Yeah.
If the devil's in a high place, spiritually, it appears to be over you, drive him out, because that it is
Amen.
Not his rightful place.
Yeah.
He is an imposter.
Yeah.
He's an imposter without any power.
Amen.
Okay? You are the ones that have the power. Jesus said, in Matthew 16 and 18, I give you all power and all authority in my name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, all power and all authority
Amen.
Is given to us in the name of Jesus. And so we need to declare these things.
Amen.
We need to shout them. We need to declare it, one, to ourselves and also to principalities. Jesus has given me all power.
Amen.
Say it. Jesus has given me
all power.
And again, say it. Jesus has given me all power. Come on, church. And begin to believe those words. These are not just your words. These are the words of the living God. These are the words of the Son of God. He's handing over authority.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, rule and reign.
Amen.
Take your rightful place. Be a blessing. And let God move through your lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 41. He says, he sets the needy secure on high, away from affliction.
Amen.
And makes his family like a flock.
Amen.
You know, verse 39 just before says, and when they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery and sorrow, he pours contempt upon their princes. When the enemy comes against us and seeks to try and diminish us and come against us and put oppression over us, he says, he, God, pours contempt upon their princes. When principalities and powers come against us, God pours contempt on them.
Yeah.
And makes them wander in pathless ways. In other words, they're wandering around, going around in circles. There's no pathway. There's no way. There is no way they can find their way back, and no way can they find their way forward.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, verse 41, it says, and he sets the needy in secure on high, away from affliction. God wants to put you into under his covering. Underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of God. He covers us with his wings.
Amen.
He's there to protect us. He's there to cause us to know him whom to know is life eternal. He's there that we might know the presence of him and to be part of his family.
Amen.
Praise God. Are you in the family of God today?
I am,
yeah. Hallelujah. In that family there is joy. In that family there is protection. In that family there is security. In that family there is love. In that family there is caring.
Amen.
In that family there is power.
Amen, yeah.
There is power. And we sing that song, there's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's power in the name of Jesus, and that name is above every name. That name will set captives free. That name will bring victory upon victory, and we will know the security and the covering of God over us. Verse 41 says, but he sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction. See that word securely? He set us securely. In other words, he's covering us. He's over us. You see, the enemy would seek to attack us, but he's already making preparation.
Mm.
He's already made preparation. You see, this psalmist has been written before Jesus was even birthed. Hundreds of years before, and the psalmist is writing this. Excuse me. And all of this is the foretelling of what is to come.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And still it's coming to pass today. Okay. Because today it's coming to pass in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's coming to pass in our lives. The upright shall see it and are glad.
Amen.
But all unrighteousness shuts its mouth.
Yeah.
You know, the unrighteous might have words at the moment, but I tell you what, there's coming a time, there's coming a day soon. When their mouth is going to be shut.
Amen.
Because it is about Jesus. It is about the glory of God. God will silence ungodly people. That is what the word will do. God is going to silence the ungodly and bring forth his church. And verse 43, who is wise? That's the question. I'm the last wisdom tooth out the other day. So where's that leave me? I've got to trust the word of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things.
Yeah.
If you are wise, you will give heed to the word of God.
Yeah.
Not to what the devil has to say. Not to what circumstances have got to say.
No.
Because there are many people in the Bible who were in difficult circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph for one. He was going to be left to die in a pit. Then they sold him as a slave. And then he got sold again onto Potiphar. Then he was a servant. And then he was accused of rape and got thrown into prison. And the keys were literally thrown away and he was forgotten about for at least 10 years. Yet God never left him. And God had a plan because God had given him dreams previously. And God was about to bring a work out through him. And so, give heed to the word of God. Give heed to the promises. You might say, well, I've not really had a promise from God. Well, stick in there. Because that word will come to you. God has got promises for you to fulfill. God has got a work to do through you. Praise God. Did you hear that? God has got a work to do through you. You're not finished yet. Amen. It is only when you stop breathing on this earth that is your work done down here. So whilst you have breath, you are here to glorify and to do the work of the kingdom of God. And so who is wise, let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Yeah. It starts off, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He finishes, and consider the loving kindness of the Lord over your life. You know, we can all look back and we can see where God has had his hand upon us in different times and different ways. Coming to Jesus was never a way of sort of nothing ever going wrong for us. It wasn't to cost it us in cotton wool and to protect us from anything that was going on. It was he came to give us the ability to equip us to get to stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. That's what it says in Ephesians. The whole armor of God is there to enable to, with the shield of faith, to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So guess what? The devil's going to be shooting at us.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that when I got saved. They told me that, you know, come to Jesus and everything was going to be okay. Well, they lied at that point. It will eventually. It will eternally. It is eternally. But there's a battle going on. There's a battle for men's lives. And men and women's souls. There is a battle. And you, each and every one of you, are part of the battle. You are part of the army of God. And God has given you weaponry. God is equipping you for works of service, that you will see the kingdom of God come in the earth and into people's lives and change people's lives for the glory of God. Amen. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. I trust you've been encouraged by today's word. I trust that you're going to be continue to grow in the Lord. And I trust that you are going to be people of power.
Yes.
People of praise. People who have an authority. And people with promises on your lives. Knowing that God will fulfill them in you. I've got promises still not yet fulfilled, so I'm going nowhere till God has fulfilled his promises.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord bless each and every one of you.